All right. Boy, I got a lot of microphones at me here. Boy, am I going to be loud. Can you hear me okay? Yeah. On there? Ready? We alive? All right, cool. Here we go. So, today is what? January 19th. What is today, this afternoon? Football. Somebody said football, right? Is there an AFC championship? Aren't we supposed to be in it? I thought it said, isn't that in the bylaws of the NFL that the Patriots shall play somebody? I looked it up, and I think it's like since 2011 we've been in the AFC championship, and obviously even before that. So just doesn't seem quite right. Although there are a couple, you know, Mike Vrabel, he is representing the Patriots, you know, on Tennessee, and Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, he's doing that for San Francisco. So there are Patriot representations. You know, I'm sure Bill Belichick's in there somewhere. You know, you gotta think so. So he was the teacher. That's right. So when we think of the Patriots and we think of football in general or any sport, you know, you have those fans that are really dedicated, you know, hardcore fans. But then you have those people that are fair weather fans. They sort of jump on the bandwagon when they're going right. You know, oh yeah, I love the Patriots, love the Patriots. Who's the Patriots? You know, they forget who they are when they're not doing so well. I can always remember the New Orleans Saints. You know, Saints, you have some definitely good fans there in New Orleans, but there was some time, you know, prior to Drew Brees, they used to wear bags over their heads. You know, it was like, you know, the unknown fan, you know, that would go there and root for the Saints. So, sad to say, and, you know, this person first, that sometimes in our Christian walk, we too can be fair weather fans to our Savior. You know, when you think about it, you know, sometimes, you know, things could be going great, you know, and Lord's great, you know, but here comes a trial. And we start to think, oh, maybe I don't really have this great God that's supposed to make everything good and right in my life. But also sometimes there's other things. There's the opposite way in the sense of, you know, when times of trouble are coming, you know, and I have that dedication to the Lord. Oh, is my mic still there? Okay. All right. Have that dedication to the Lord. And then when things start going good, I start forgetting about them. I don't need them anymore. So it can work actually both ways. Both senses, depending upon, you know, how it is that we have our dedication with the Lord, I can start to really love Him, and then I can start to forget about Him. But I'd like to read a verse for you today in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump will sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying which is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is in the law. But thanks be to God, who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." So can I tell you, as much as we might be Patriot fans and sometimes we would win the Super Bowl, in Christ, we are always victorious. Whether it is, you know, a high tide or a low time, if it's a mountaintop or a valley, we are always victorious in the Lord. He is always there. And therefore, I really want to stress this next verse, verse 58 here in 1 Corinthians. It says, "Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." So, understanding who we are in Christ and the fact that we serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we are always on the winning team. So when I think of myself and my circumstances, and sometimes, again, I could have my highs and lows, and we'll say in our devotion and dedication to the Lord, let's always remember that in all things, in Christ, we have victory. All things, whether it be turmoil, whether it be joyful, no matter what it is, we would be all things. So when you think about the scriptures in the New Testament times, we think about, you know, who would be somebody who would be pretty steadfast in their devotion to the Lord. And I think we would have to say that probably the Apostle Paul would be a good example of that, right? I mean, Paul, reading through his epistles and reading through the book of Acts, obviously we know who Paul started off being, right? Saul of Tarsus. And even in that, I mean, he was pretty dedicated, right? He was dedicated to murderer and persecutor of the church, but he was dedicated. But then in that road to Damascus, he saw the vision of the Lord. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? You know, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. So on that day to Damascus, Paul saw the Lord. The blindness were in some sense removed from a spiritual perspective, but were put on, you know, from a physical perspective, because as we know, he was blind for 3 days. But from that point on, Paul kept faithfulness to the call that Christ had given to him. And when you think about the various missionary journeys, three missionary journeys, he went all over the areas over there. We have books, epistles, written to some of these churches which he started or which he had definitely influenced. You think about it, you know, you got the Rome and Corinth and Galatia and Ephesus and so forth. But also know, though, that when Paul was doing these things, he wasn't doing these things by themselves. So let that also be a reminder to each one of us here that it's not just the pastor that runs Grace Lighthouse Church, right? It is each member, each person has their part in this ministry. And think about it, you know, the Bible describes the church as a body, you know, and obviously we can have some key parts of the body, you know, but bang your little toe. And I guarantee you that thing will have some influence over you, you know, if that little toe is not working correctly. All right. So no matter how great or how behind the scenes you are, every aspect of this church is important to the Lord. So I would just encourage you with that. But as far as Paul goes, in Philemon, there's only one chapter, in verse 23, 24, he identifies some of these people that were working with him. In verse 23 says, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ, greets you, as do Mark and Aristarchus and Demas and Luke, my fellow laborers. In Colossians, he also references towards the end, he usually has some salutation. He says, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greets you. So Paul would typically identify those people who are with him in the ministry. And again, these people, you know, they would be part of it. They would organize, I'm sure help him organize for the crowds and do all sorts of various things. But in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and this should be up on the screen here, I want to read through chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. And pay close attention as we get down to the end of it. Now, knowing too that the Timothy, 1st, 2nd Timothy, we call those the pastoral epistles, along with Titus. So Timothy being a pastor, Paul has given him encouragement. And it says here, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. So let's sort of sidebar here. When we think about, you know, God as judge, who will be the judge? Jesus Christ. All right. Jesus said, I think it's John chapter 5 or 6 around there, that the Father has given all judgment unto the Son. All right. So great white throne judgment seat of Christ. It's Christ that will be the judge. But notice here in verse 2, it says, and preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season to convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teachings. For the time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine. Praise the Lord that you have a church that preaches the word and sound doctrine. That is a huge blessing, right? There are many, many, many churches out there that are preaching false doctrine and being deceived. So praise the Lord that He has given you the opportunity to be here at Grace Lighthouse Church. All right, go back to verse 3 there. Again, it says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires or lusts, because they have itching ears and will heap themselves teachers." So they want teachers that are going to preach the things that make me feel good. So they pat me on the back. "Boy, you're great." "And they will turn their ears away from the truth and turning aside to fables." All right? So fables, right? Those are not true stories, right? You got those fables? "They're going to tell me what I want to hear." Now, watch this. He says, "But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. And do the work of the evangelist. Fulfill your ministry." So this is his proclamation to Timothy as to, you know what? Things aren't always going to be rosy. Sometimes we do have to endure afflictions. And they can come in many fashions. But even in that, do the work of the evangelist. Guess what? Sometimes in those afflictions is when you have a divine appointment. But for the affliction, you may not have the opportunity to speak to so-and-so and so-and-so. So although none of us like them, there's value in them. So keep that mindset of being fulfilled, to fulfill our ministry. Then Paul says here, "For I am ready to be poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand." Because we know right after this, Paul is actually executed. He says, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not me only, but also all those who loved his appearing. Be diligent to come quickly to me." So he was asking Timothy to come to him. Why? "For Demas," remember Demas, the one that he announced there before? "For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica." And then some other people also had departed from him, not necessarily for the same reason, but Cretan for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. "Only Luke is with me, and get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful for the ministry." So what I want to do is I want to pray, and then I want to start focusing a little bit on Demas. But let's not pick on Demas. It's sort of like we pick on Thomas, right? Thomas is called Doubting Thomas, right? Well, guess what? All the apostles doubted, right? It says that, right? But yet we focus in on him. God, I would never be a Doubting Thomas. Yeah, right. So let's not pick on Demas, but let's talk about some of the things that could have influenced Demas in this situation. But let's pray. Again, Lord, I just want to thank you for bringing us here today. Lord, and I just thank you from the bottom of my heart for giving me opportunities like this, Lord. These are precious moments when I get to speak and teach your word and preach your word, Lord. So I do pray that you be with me, Lord, and help me to say the words that you would have me to say. And Lord, I would pray for each one here that your message would pierce the heart. Lord, would convict the soul. And if there be one here that doesn't know you as Savior, that today would be the day that they would call upon your name for salvation. But for those of us who have already accepted, Lord, I would pray that this would be an encouragement, but also a warning to guard our hearts. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. So when we think about Demas, now Demas had seen all the actions of Paul. Now, let me ask you this. Do you think the actions of Paul would have been boring? No, right? Paul's traveling all over the place, right? He's encountering all sorts of people. There's all sorts of excitement going on. Some good, some bad. You know, Paul's obviously got persecuted in many fashions and stuff like that. But there would be all sorts of things. So there could be a sense of excitement in following Paul and being his fellow servant, right? But only if you start to, and continue to value the things that Paul was valuing. And what was one of the things that Paul valued the most was his calling to be an apostle to the Gentiles, right? To preach God's word, to preach the gospel message, to be out there. So, you know, as people are gathering around Paul and helping Paul in these various ministries, as long as that focus was similar, the same, they too would want to be involved in that action, in that activity. But what happens when you start taking your eyes off of that? Off the cause? You can start to now value something differently. You know, maybe it's you start to think of all the beatings that Paul just got and says, that's a lot of affliction. Do I really want to put myself in those circumstances with that affliction? Did you see what he just went through? So, you know, if I sort of left Paul, I wouldn't have to worry about that in my own life. I could sort of go do my own thing. I'll still love the Lord, but I'll go do my own things, right? Or it is possible that I start taking my eyes off of Paul's circumstances, because Paul's in prison. I'm sure he didn't have maybe the best place to live, probably didn't have the best clothes, probably didn't have a lot of these things, right? Just moving from place to place. And I start to think about all the things that, you know, I'm a pretty intelligent kind of guy. I could probably make a good living for myself. I could probably have this and that. And look what they have over there. And these sinners, they're living the life here, and I'm supposed to be doing God's work. And look, you know, I only have good sandals on my feet and stuff like that. So you can start to think about the worldly possessions. So there could be many different aspects that could have influenced Demas in this, where he would truly forsake Paul. And can I say, when he's forsaken Paul, who's he really forsaking? Jesus, right? He's forsaking Christ. You know, would we say to him and about him that he really did lose the heart of devotion to the Lord? His conviction, the condition of the heart. So what I want you to do, I want you to turn to Mark. Now, people have Bibles today. I know most of the time pastor puts things up there, and that's good, you know, but having that good Bible, you know, shake that thing up, get those cobwebs out of there, because we're going to open that thing up today. Amen? All right. So let's go. We're going to go to Mark chapter 12. We're going to contrast two texts right now. And again, the first bullet, if you want to have a bullet here, this is talking about our devotion, the condition of the heart. So in Mark chapter 12, verse 28 through 31, the Bible says, "Then one of the scribes came, having heard them reason together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, 'Which is the first commandment of all?' And Jesus answered him, 'The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this: You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.'" So where was Jesus speaking from? The Old Testament, right? This is both those scriptures there came from the law. First is Deuteronomy chapter 6, and the second one in Leviticus 19. So Jesus teaching the scribes there who asked him regarding what would be the greatest commandment, again, came directly from the Word of God. So let me ask you a question. How many people believe that the Old Testament has no purpose for the church here? Good, I'm glad I didn't see any hands. Right? Many times you say, well, I live in the New Testament. I'm only a New Testament Christian. It's like, the foundation of your New Testament Christian is in the Old Testament scriptures. So, you know, be faithful, and when you're reading, read all God's content, all of his scriptures. Because, you know, whenever they say, you know, and the scripture says, when they were living the gospel, guess where they were reading it from? The Old Testament. Okay, so don't not value the Old Testament. But notice what he says there, that you're supposed to love God. The greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. So that is basically encompassing the entire person. That is where our devotion should be. And then, if that's the situation, then the second commandment flows right into it, that you will love your neighbor as yourself. You truly can't do the second one without the first. Right? You're going to have to love the Lord and have that influence us for us to show grace and mercy and love towards our neighbors. Now, I want you to contrast that to 1 John chapter 2. So if you've got your Bible, flip over there towards the end of the New Testament, 1 John. This is the first epistle of John. Because I want you to see the differences of the heart here. So John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. John says here, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anybody loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust thereof. But he who does the will of God abides forever." So notice the difference here. Christ tells us, you know, what is the greatest commandment? What should we be doing? Loving God with all heart, soul, mind, strength. What drives us away? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. This is what affected Demas. And can I say, this can affect you, and it can affect me. So we need to be watchful. We need to be mindful. You know, truly the things of this world, the things that we start devaluing, the things of the world, guess what? It says that the world's going to pass away. You know, but the word of the Lord is going to abide forever. Guess what? You know, all the things that we can accumulate in this life, you know, they have truly no value, no eternal value. But the value of the scriptures, the value of a soul that we could possibly lead to the Savior, has eternal value. Which basically brings me to the second point, and the condition of our heart will determine what our treasure is. So the second point there would be our treasure. Is it in earth? Or is it in heaven? Where is your treasure? So if you've got your Bible there, okay, I'm going to read through Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 is basically right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. And I'm going to read a few verses here. It starts on verse 19. So Matthew 6, 19. If you're with me, say amen. All right, good. You haven't fallen asleep yet. That's good. Now, Pastor did say I could preach at 1 o'clock today. Is that okay? There's no Patriots on today, right? So we lost, so I could keep going, right? All right. So Matthew 6:19 says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, nor where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So when you start to think of myself and my spiritual life and my spiritual walk with the Lord, and yes, we have mountains, right? Those mountain peaks, you know, when really with the Lord, and then we sort of have those valleys. Remember that verse, you know, that we read at the beginning? It said for us to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding. What is that talking about? That's describing the steady. You need to be faithful, steady. That should be your Christian walk. No matter if the high things come or the low things come, you should be steady in your walk in the Lord. Always devoted to Him. And that comes when we truly place our value on what He values. What shall you gain, the whole world, if you shall lose your own soul? How precious is a soul? Each person's soul, no matter who they are, was precious to him in his sight. He would have died on Calvary's cross for one person to save their soul. That's how great love we have. You know, the Bible says that when we were yet enemies, Christ died for the ungodly. So that is where we need to be placing our minds and our thoughts and our efforts, is treasures in heaven. You know, Jesus says here in verse 24, that Matthew 26 says, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, or possessions, or money. Why? Because they're contrary to each other. Right? When you're serving the Lord, that says, I didn't come to be ministered unto, but to minister, to give my life a ransom for many. That's supposed to be the heart of the disciple to flow in. But if my desires of life is self-centered, guess what? I'm not going to serve him. I'm going to serve self. So I need to have that mindset that I will serve the Lord. Because in verse 33 of that same chapter, it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Guess what? That's what we should be valuing. Our Lord, his righteousness, that's what should be our value. And the earthly possessions, God will take care of those. He knows what you need, right? He knows the things that we have need for. So again, if you have your Bible, so let's turn to Romans chapter 1. And we talked about Paul and his steadfastness in the ministry of the Lord. I want you to see here what Paul values and who Paul values. So Romans chapter 1, verse 14, let me read through verse 17, says this, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarian, both to the wise and to the unwise. So to be a debtor means that he owes something to somebody. Now what does Apostle Paul owe to the Greeks and the barbarians? It says, so much as in me, I am ready to preach what? The gospel. Let me ask you a question. Do you feel that you're a debtor to people around you in your daily walk? And that you owe them something. And what do you owe them? The testimony of the gospel. Right? And notice what it says here. For I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are also in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first and also for the Greek. So why don't we share? Because I am ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We need to come right down to it. Many times, that's what happens. I value a person's thought or attitude towards me versus my coming out and sharing the glorious news that could save that person's soul. And trust me, this person first. Even though I taught that evangelist class, doesn't mean that I'm perfect. Trust me. That's my wife. She's my best conscience there. And she'll tell you all my failures. Don't ask her, though. I want you guys to think I'm perfect. Yeah, right. Yeah, that's true. Amen. So when we think about Paul, right, he was debtor to the Greeks. He owed that. That was his passion. That's what he loved. He loved the gospel, and he loved the fact that Christ gave him this ministry. So our response to that is this. What is my heart's? What is the treasure that is gearing and directing my heart? If I am truly valuing the things of this world, things of life's pleasures or whatever they could be, or not willing to put forth and take up my cross and follow me, as Jesus says in Luke chapter 9, to deny myself. Then I could be very easily in the situation of Demas to love this present world and have forsaken him. So when we think about, and basically the third bullet here is talking about our service. You know, to have the right heart of loving God with all my heart, soul, mind, strength, loving my neighbor as myself, and to have the right things I'm valuing, the things that Christ valued, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the thing that we should be valuing. When I have those two things in order, now I'm set to be the minister of his ministry. And Christ, in many places, has called us to serve in different capacities. You know, in Acts chapter 1, you know, just before Jesus ascended, you know, he said, therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said, it's not time for you to know the times or the season which the Father has put into his own authority, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So one of the ministries that the Lord has called each one of us to be is witnesses for him. Where? Where am I supposed to be a witness? In Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Well, I'm not in Jerusalem, but I am sitting here in where? Wareham. Let that be your Jerusalem. Judea. Where could Judea be? Well, maybe it's on the Cape. Maybe it's towards New Bedford. Right? It could be a Judea. Samaria, that's those Samarians. That's those half-breeds. That's the people I don't like. Mean I got to preach the gospel there too? Yep. So where would those places be? And then ultimately, to the ends of the earth, guess what? As long as we're on this planet, this place is so. So you have no excuse as to say, well, he didn't call me to be a witness there. Because he did. He called us to be witnesses to wherever he has us to be. But not only witnesses are we supposed to be, but we're also supposed to be reconcilers and ambassadors. How many people, we just had Christmas, right? One of the favorite Christmas carols is Hark the Herald, Angels Sing. Many times when you read through those carols, there's good doctrine in a lot of those carols. And one of the phrases that this carol has, it says, and God and sinners reconciled. So guess what? He has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. It says that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. It says, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So what does that mean? That means to be have a sinner and have a God reconciled through the Savior, Jesus Christ. It says here in verse 19, it says, that is, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. Guess what? Christ took care of the sin on the cross, right? He paid for each and every sin on that cross. That and it has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now, this is even a reconciler is a great word, a great term, but notice this one. It says in verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. What is an ambassador? That's someone who has taken full responsibility to declare the message of someone of high authority. Right? Obviously from the United States perspective, we have ambassadors to all the various countries. Do you realize that you have been given the proud privilege to being the ambassador of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? What a great authority that he has given to you. So not only are we supposed to be witnesses and reconcilers and ambassadors, you know, he's given us other responsibilities as well. In 1 Timothy, just for time I won't read it, but he's also given us the ministry of intercession and for preaching and for teaching. But because evangelism is deep in my heart, we're going to go back to 2 Timothy, which we read in verse 4. Because he said this to Timothy, but you be watchful in all things, endure affliction, and do the work of the evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. So if you have the right mindset of God, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and you're valuing the things that he values, then we'll be ready to fulfill these ministries. But I want you to turn to Romans chapter 12. I want you to ponder these verses. Pretty familiar verses. Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. When you're presenting your bodies as a living sacrifice, what are you doing? You're offering your whole self to Him for His ministry, for His service. That's what you're doing. And when I'm doing this, this sacrifice I'm giving to Him, right, it's holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Guess what? He has saved us from all eternity of hell. Do you think it's reasonable that I offer myself to Him? And guess what? When I do, He gives me unlimited joy in my heart. You know, He gives me proud privileges of being the ambassador for the King of Kings and Lord. It's a pretty good trade-off. Sinful man, all these things. Right? And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove that what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When you're offering yourself as that living sacrifice and you're engaged in His Word, we just had a Sunday school class on the Word of God, the importance of the Word of God. And let me ask you this. I know this is going to be hard. Do you think that I can go through the entire scripture context in one Sunday school class? Come next week, Sunday school. You will see that we will go through the entire scriptures in one Sunday school class, Lord willing. Either that or Dennis is going to be starting to preach at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. But to know the will of God, how do I know the will of God? It's through His Word. The Word of God needs to be precious. One of those things that we value, high value, is the Word of God needs to be precious to me. Needs to be my food, my spiritual food that I have. So as I surrender myself, I'm surrendering to the call of the Lord, offering myself as a living sacrifice, to be His witness, to be His reconciler, to be His ambassador, to be His intercessor and teacher and preacher and evangelist. All for the glory of Mark. No. All for the glory of Christ. Got to keep the mind focused. John the Baptist says, He must increase, I must decrease. And that needs to be our hearts, to come in a humble heart in service to the Lord. So in concluding, let's go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Let these verses in Romans chapter 10 be precious to you, no matter where you are in your walk with the Lord. If you have a relationship with the Lord, you've asked the Lord to save you, let these beginning verses be your prayer. Paul says this, "Brethren, my heart's desire," notice the condition of his heart, what's he focusing in on? "My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel," you fill in the blank. Lord, my heart's desire and prayer to God for my father, my mother, my brother, my friends, my co-worker, strangers, is that they might be saved. You fill that in. Forbearing them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not knowing according to knowledge. Guess what? There's a lot of things that are out there that confuse people. The devil has put the blinders out there, that the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that do not know Him. So we have that which could be light, which is the light of the gospel. And then in verse 4 it says, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes." But how do you be saved? It says that in verse 9. That if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, basically believe in the gospel message, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, "Who believes on Him will not be put to shame." And there's no distinction between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord is rich over all that call upon Him. For whoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Who's a whosoever? A whoever. Who's the whoever? Everybody, right? Aren't you glad of that? There are many religions that say, unless you're part of my religion, you can't be saved. Jesus and the Lord is no respecter of persons. For whoever, whether you're a Jew or you're a Greek, no matter who you are, for whoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Even a prostitute? Even a thief on the cross? Even a jailer, a prison guard? Even a centurion that's over 100 people persecuting the church? Even Saul of Tarsus? Even Mark Darosh? Put your name in there. Can be saved. But now focus on verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how then shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how then shall they hear without a preacher? That's not pastor. That's a proclaimer. How will they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they've been sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those that preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Who wants to have beautiful feet in the eyes of the Lord? Preach his word. Teach his word. You want to have beautiful feet? Preach his word. Preach his gospel. Share it with people. Are they all going to believe? No, it says there. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, as Isaiah said, who has believed our report. But we have to recognize that. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's our message. That's our gospel. Be reconciled to the Lord. So in closing, don't be a Demas. Be a Paul. Be a Luke. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You know, we serve a great God. He's called us to various ministries. But he always says that no matter what I'm calling you to do, I will always be there with you, even to the ends of the earth. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just want to thank you again for giving us this opportunity to come here, Lord. And Lord, each person here is at a different place in their walk. Lord, there could be some here who for the very first time has heard the gospel message, the fact that Jesus Christ came on this earth and died for the sins of the world, and that those who place faith and trust in him and him alone for salvation can be saved. So, Lord, if there's be one here that is that situation, Lord, let them lift up their hearts to you right now as we sit quietly. Let them call upon your name of the Lord, asking you, Jesus, I know I've sinned against you. Please save my soul so I can be with you in glory in heaven and be a child of God, repenting of the sin and just trusting in you. Is there anyone that would be there like that? If there is, if you raise your hand, I'd like to pray for you. If anybody would be like that. If not, Christian, where's your heart? Where's your condition of your heart? What are you valuing today? Would there be any there that would be willing to say, Brother Mark, my heart's not always in the right place. I've stopped valuing the things that I shouldn't be valuing. Would you pray for me for that? Would there be anyone that would pray for that? Hands all over the place. Dear Lord, I just thank you for the great God that you are. Lord, help us to be better stewards of your word. Help us to be better fulfillers of the responsibilities you've given to us. And Lord, I just thank you for the bottom of my heart, for the privilege of serving the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thank you for this message that we had today, Lord. Thank you for this worship service. And in all things, we want to glorify our Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. So before I end, I didn't really have yet an opportunity to thank the church for allowing me and Mary to come to Grace Lighthouse Church. You know, if we were able to teach, you know, over there in the Sunday school lesson. So Dennis and Pastor, I do thank them for giving me the opportunity to preach and to teach over there. Some of you had the proud privilege of going through those 16 lessons. You thought, 16 lessons? I will never be able to survive 16 lessons with you. But by lesson 14, you're saying, don't we have more time? I don't really think I'm ready to go. Anyways, I want to thank you for allowing us, and obviously we're continuing to serve here, and we pray for the Lord for guidance and direction as to where He would have me and Mary to serve and how to serve Him. But I did want to thank the church body, seriously, for allowing us to have that opportunity to teach in there. And I also want to continue, those of you who have taken the class and those of you who didn't take the class, you know, there's going to be many ministries during this year, many opportunities to serve in the community and sharing the gospel. Take the step of faith. Get out of the comfort zone and serve Him in these capacities as best you can. And even if you're not physically able to go out, when you know something's going on, pray. Pray for those who are going out. Make it a mindful step. They're going out from 9 to 10. Guess what? I'm sitting here in my living room with my Bible reading, and I'm going to pray for the people who are going out. You can do that as well. Amen? All right. So I think we're going to have a closing song, right?